Welcome to the weekly radio ministry of Let the Bible Speak, an outreach of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The purpose of this program is to preach Christ in all His fullness. I am Pastor Ron Barnes of Heritage Free Presbyterian Church in Prince George. The church is located in the Hart Highlands across from the ski slope. I warmly welcome you to worship with us. Sunday school begins at 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., and afternoon service at 2:30 p.m. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the church office at 250-962-8232. Enjoy our opening hymn. Being tested in faith is a vital aspect of the Christian life. Our education in school includes tests to determine if progress is being made in specific subjects. Consecrating our life to Christ includes being tested on the subject of faith to reveal areas where our faith is lacking. We read about a man by the name of Jairus in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56, whose faith in Christ was tested. Did he pass or fail the test? Today's message will answer this question, but before the sermon, another hymn.
The title of my message is The Testing of Faith, taken from Luke chapter 8, verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." In Luke chapter 8, we read about a man, Jairus, and the testing of his faith. Jairus was a prominent Jew, a rabbi, who was a teacher in the synagogue in Capernaum. And Jairus came to Christ as the distraught parent of a dying daughter. The Lord compassionately came to Jairus' house and found that the girl had already been pronounced dead. And the tender scene where Christ raised Jairus' little girl is recorded here in Luke chapter 8, and then Mark chapter 5, and Matthew chapter 9. And all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will be tested in their faith. And these faith tests prove whether we are sincere in trusting God and on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for all areas of our life. We read in James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried or tested, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Being tested in faith is a vital aspect of the Christian life. Our education in school includes tests to determine if progress is being made concerning specific subjects. Consecrating our life to Christ includes being tested on the subject of faith to reveal any area where our faith is lacking, or where it's slow, or where our trust on God may need some adjustment. Our present life today and eternal life later depends on meeting these tests scripturally and passing them successfully. Being tested on faith reveals our attitude to God and His Word. The Christian's goal is to take a scriptural attitude concerning everything and to be willing to follow God's Word regarding every detail of life, with such things as protection, provision, spiritual light, divine healing, correcting wrongs, or any matter where faith is a factor and God has clearly spoken in His Word. First of all, tested faith leads to a profound regard for the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 41, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he should come into his house." Now this gesture of Jairus was not only a sign of tender affection in him towards his daughter, but also an evidence of faith in our blessed Redeemer. He believed him either to be God or an extraordinary man who had a miraculous power of healing. Matthew chapter 9 says that he worshipped Christ. Now, Jairus gave to Christ all imaginable respect. This rabbi had a profound regard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was not a mere man to Jairus. He was Jehovah. He was the God-man. And he worshipped Christ. And Christ didn't refuse his worship. We see two things here. We see a man who submits to the lordship of Christ and recognizes that Christ is his God. We also realize the deity of Christ, where Christ did not refuse this worship from Jairus. He didn't say, "Get up. Get up, you only worship God. I'm not God. Why are you worshiping me?" Christ never refused the worship of men when they worshiped him. And he accepted it because he was God. He was divine. Matthew Henry writes, "They that would receive mercy from Christ must give honor to Christ." And this is what we see in Jairus. Jairus came to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. And yet, before we receive mercy from the Lord, we have to honor Him. We have to submit to Him. We have to bow down to Him. And how do we honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we do it in humbling ourselves in His holy presence. Jairus was humbling himself. He fell down at His feet. He realized his need. He realized his utter weakness and powerlessness when it came to healing his own daughter. And he submitted himself to the divine authority of Christ. He had tried, he came to his wits' ends. He had nowhere else to turn. And he submitted to the will and to the authority of Christ. And he knew that Christ could heal his daughter. But the question came into his mind, would Christ heal his daughter? And that's where this faith had to come to the surface in the heart of Jairus. Now, Jairus was a rabbi teacher. He was respected. And he worshipped the true and living God. And some of his parishioners were probably there when they saw him fall down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jairus didn't care. He needed to get to the Lord. He needed his little girl healed. And he needed to submit himself to the Lord. And that's evidence of a man who's exercising faith in the Lord. And he worshipped him. He revered him. He respected him. He honored the Lord. Do you have a profound regard for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you come into his presence or fall down at his feet and worship him? We have to have that attitude, my friend, in the house of the Lord. This is holy ground. This is God's holy place of worship. And when we come before the Lord, he's to be revered. He's to be respected. He's to be looked upon as the true and living God. I'm afraid today you go into many churches and this posture of reverence and holiness is not observed. I think Christ is looked upon more as a buddy, as a friend, as a pal, and not as Almighty God. And when we come into his presence, we need to fall down at his feet. We need to worship the true and living God. And we need to show that Christ indeed is profoundly regarded in our hearts by our actions, by our posture, by our heart. Words as we come before the Lord. Is your heart profoundly moved when Christ is mentioned, when Christ is preached, when Christ is lifted up? Does your heart move with love and passion for the Savior? Or are you so cold and so dead and so apathetic to Christ that there's no movement? There's no sense of desire to worship this great God. Jairus had that desire. And Jairus dropped down, the rabbi, the teacher, and humbled himself. Oh, that the Lord would come and meet with us and give us such an experience. When was the last time in your own heart you fell down at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him? You know, you've been to worship and you went through the motions of worship, but in your heart of hearts, when did you fall down at the feet of Jesus? Lay before him and say, Lord, you're holy, holy, holy. When was the last time I did that in my worship of the Lord? My heart has to be a heart that comes before the Lord seriously and reverently. This isn't a funny matter. This isn't something that we are to laugh about. This is something that we are to fall down before the Lord and say, Lord, you are holy. You are to be respected. You are to be revered. Jairus had that in his heart because he had a profound regard for Christ and where he was and who he was. And all we do have to have the same profound regard, my friend. I have to have that same regard, because it's so easy not to make this a holy place. It's so easy to just go through like this is just a normal place, a social gathering where we just get together and we just have a fun get-together time. This is God's place of worship. This is an unusual place, a special place for God's people, where Christ is to be adored and honored and worshipped. That's what Jairus was doing. That's what we must do today. The testing of faith leads to a profound regard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, tested faith learns to wait for Christ. We read that Jairus and Christ were interrupted by a woman in verse 43. We read, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now the story of Jairus and his daughter is, as it were, cut in two by that of the poor invalid woman. Christ briefly pauses on his way to the house of Jairus in order to heal another dying sufferer. Alexander McLaren calls this a miracle within a miracle. Her faith, this faith of the woman, was very imperfect, but the main fact is that she had this imperfect faith. There was no real connection between the touch of her finger and her healing, but she thought that there was, and Christ stoops to her childish thought and lets her make the path for his gift. McClellan says, the last part of the miracle, when the cured woman is made the bold confessor, is all shaped so as to correct and confirm her imperfect faith. She had thought of the healing energy as independent of his knowledge and will. Therefore, she is taught that he was aware of the mute appeal and of the going out of power in answer to it. The question, "Who touched me?" has been regarded as a proof that Jesus was ignorant of the person. But if we keep the woman's character and the nature of her disease in view, we can suppose it asked not to obtain information, but to lead to acknowledgement. What McLaren is saying is, when he asked that question, "Who touched me?" he wasn't saying that he was ignorant of it. He knew who touched me. But he was saying that question to get from the woman acknowledgement of what she did. And what this woman did, although her faith was imperfect, she thought that all she needed to do was touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ and she would be healed. It was almost like a superstitious belief. If I could just touch something that Christ owned, somehow magically, that there would be power in that. And there's so many people today that have that kind of faith, that have like a superstitious faith in the things of God. And McLaren points out that we are not, as God's people, to be too harshly critical of people who have an imperfect faith. Because even here, this woman had an imperfect faith. It wasn't focused completely on Christ, but it was more on, if I could just get to his garment, I'll touch him and I'll be healed and I'll be made perfect. And yet Christ has to take it farther with this woman. What Christ is doing is he's trying to draw out of this woman a truer faith, a more solid faith. The object not in his garment, but in him. Christ does that with sinners. Oftentimes, our faith is imperfect. And it's not on the object that it should be. And Christ in his mercy and grace draws things out of us so that we can realize and learn what the true object of our faith should be and ought to be. And that is him. And when the woman was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ was drawing her eyes on him. Don't put your focus on my garment. It wasn't the garment that healed you. It was my love and my mercy. I healed you. And you can see how the Lord Jesus Christ is dispelling these foolish, imperfect notions of the woman by confronting her and by calling her out. He wasn't trying to embarrass her. He was trying to teach her a very important lesson. And that is that if you want to be healed of your sin, if you want to truly know what it is to be delivered from disease and from uncleanness, put your trust in me. And Christ even called her daughter. No other woman in the scripture was ever called that by the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls her daughter, confirming the fact that Christ had done a work of grace in her heart. She had become part of the family of God. And yet the faith that she was exercising at the time was imperfect. And yet she had that faith. And oftentimes we have to be very careful to pass judgment on people when it comes to the things of faith. Because we just don't know how much faith a person needs to come to Christ. And I have to be one to admit that there are times when I am hasty. And I sometimes can pass sentence harshly on people because they don't exercise the kind of faith that I think they should exercise. Well, if I had to judge this woman's faith, I would have said she had it all wrong. She wasn't looking to Christ. She was just looking to something that he was wearing. And yet Christ didn't condemn her for it. Christ didn't reject her. Christ didn't heal her. Christ healed her because her faith, as small as it was, as imperfect as it was being. Christ was drawing that faith out of her to him. And oftentimes, our faith is imperfect. And our faith doesn't hit the mark. And it's only by the mercy and grace of God that he teaches us, okay, I know you want to learn more about me. I know you want to lay hold of me. But you're doing it all wrongly. And he takes us aside and he teaches us in loving and compassion. Just like this woman. Daughter, your faith has made you heal. Your faith has healed you. Your faith in me. Not in the garment. Not in the cloth, but in me. And you could see how the hearts of Christ and this woman were becoming even closer knit together. And can't you see the tenderness there, the moment when Christ called her name? Daughter? Son? That's what he does when he adopts his people from a life of sin into his family. He calls us his children. And as imperfect as our faith is, and oftentimes we do things to cause the Spirit of God grief, yet the Lord's patient and merciful with us. But this was a big interruption in the life of Jairus. Jairus wasn't really concerned about this woman. All he thought about at this point was, get home and heal my daughter. My daughter's dying. And you can hear how Jairus must have been chaffed at the delay. He had left his child at the point of death, and here was the healer loitering around, dealing with this woman's problems. It must have seemed that the father had an agony of impatience here. We're dealing with moments. She could be passing away any time. There's no time to waste. We've got to get to my house. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ delayed deliberately, didn't he? And it shows the love and kindness of Christ to sinners. But it also shows how impetuous and how impatient we can become as followers of the Lord. And it's a real temptation for us to not wait and follow after the Lord. We want the Lord to follow us. We want the Lord to go according to our timetable. And it doesn't work that way. And it's a lesson that we have to learn, all of us. And it's an ongoing lesson. And thankfully, we are learning in the school of grace how the Lord teaches us to wait on Him, to put our trust in Him, to be patient with the Lord and how He works in our lives. We see here Christ works suddenly in this woman's life, but delayed in the working of Jairus, to teach us an important lesson that sometimes the Lord in His providence will work suddenly, and other times He'll delay and He'll wait. What does that teach us? We need to wait on the Lord. We need to step back and say, Lord, save me from my impulsiveness. Save me from my carnal thoughts and my carnal desires. If I'm getting ahead of you, Lord, and help me to follow you. It wasn't time for the Lord to go to the house right now. It was time to heal this woman. It was time to minister to this woman. And oftentimes we need to learn that the Lord, the universe doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around Christ and His grace and His working in the lives of people.
Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak. I am Pastor Ron Barnes of Heritage Free Presbyterian Church in Prince George. The church is located in the Hart Highlands across from the ski slope. I warmly welcome you to worship with us. Sunday school begins at 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., and afternoon service at 2:30 p.m. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the church office at 250-962-8232. May the Lord richly bless you.